Galatians chapter 3 is where we are. I'd like to read verses 21 through 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." And here's the phrase I want you to pay attention to: "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." But verse 23, when it talks about the Lord's compassions, they are new every morning. And then Jeremiah writes, "Great is thy faithfulness," speaking of God's faithfulness. You know, there are many messages that are expository, and what I mean by that is they will go verse by verse and they deal with a story or a passage or a narrative in such a way and just basically take it apart. And I like preaching that way as a preacher, because it's a lot less, it's a lot harder to get sidetracked when you just let the text just put you right along. But I do think on occasion it is good for us sometimes to hear a message, instead of it being expository, to be what I would call meditative. And that's the message that you're going to hear tonight. I make no bones about it. I want to spend a good amount of time on that phrase that Jeremiah wrote, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I ask you this question tonight: why is God's faithfulness great? I think all of us would do well to stop and think about the answers to that question. I probably could go up to any Christian and say, "Is God's faithfulness great?" And say, "Yes, sir, brother." And if I said, "Why?" Well, it's big. It's big. It's big. It's good. You know, we would just start right off. We'd give some good generic answers. But just for the next few minutes, I want to ask you the question, why is God's faithfulness great? Now, when we read this passage that we've read, it seems rather uplifting. I mean, in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Boy, you say, "Boy, that's bright." But here's the thing that you may not realize. This bright passage comes in the midst of a dark book. Have you ever been to a funeral before? People ask me, they said, "How'd you spend your Christmas break?" The first week of it, I was at two funerals. I told my wife, I said, "Back home, death comes in threes. You know, I don't know what's going to happen here," but two funerals. The very first week, there was a funeral that I went to in Tennessee and had to drive to and back. There was a funeral in Georgia that I had to participate in and come back. And that one in Georgia particularly hit me hard, because when I went there, I stood in front of the casket there in the side room before they brought his body into the chapel, and there was a man that I loved dearly. His name was Andy Asbell. He was 97 years old. I still remember staying in Andy's house when he was a board member at the college. My children were just little. I will never forget it. They lived in a house off by the lake. My wife and I and our kids were in one bedroom upstairs, and in the middle of the night, this older gentleman knocks on our bedroom door, and I'm like, "What in the world is going on?" And when I opened the door, there I saw Mr. Asbell in his pajamas with my 3-year-old son beside of him, and he said, "I think this belongs to you." In the middle of the night, my small son had wandered into his bedroom looking for a stuffed animal. That's the life of an evangelist kid right there. And I was so apologetic. I was like, "I'm so sorry, Brother Asbell." And I took him in the room, and he collapsed in the floor, went to bed, and it was over with. But the man held a dear place in my heart. But you know, as I looked at that casket, as I looked in there, I saw a man's body who had withered away to nothing. He'd lost his wife a couple of years previously. She had lived with dementia. And while this man knew the Lord, Andy Asbell not only knew the Lord, but he told other people about the Lord all the time, You know, a funeral just still is a sad thing. There's a gloom, there's a sadness. There are some of you tonight, you've been to a funeral, and maybe it was a funeral that had a horrible circumstance, and it seemed to not have a ray of light, and there was just a gloom that was filled with grieving and with sorrow. I'm going to tell you, for some of you younger ones especially, the more experience you gain in life, the greater gravity you're going to see to a funeral, and sometimes the gloom that comes with it. But do you know, when you read the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is not officiating the funeral of an individual. He's really officiating the funeral of a city. Jerusalem. He starts out at the beginning of that book and he talks about how here was a city that at one time followed God and now it has deteriorated to nothing. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How she has become tributary. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks." Jeremiah looked at an entire city that had been devastated. And you want to know why that city was devastated? I'll tell you in one very simple word. S-I-N. Sin. A city that at one time followed God, went after its own desires, and God had allowed it to be leveled. And for the first 2.5 chapters, Jeremiah's heart is broken. And just, can I tell you something? Sin will not only level a city, sin will level a family, sin will level a life in this room. And the truth is, there have been many people who've been leveled by sin. And the truth is, all of us have been born in sin. And listen, left to our own devices and apart from God, there's not much hope. But when we come to this passage, it's like God begins to let a little ray of light shine. "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." And tonight, as we answer the question, why is God's faithfulness great? I want to remind you, friend, there is always hope with God. I don't care how you've messed up your life. I don't care what you have done. You can spend your entire life up to this point running away from God, but yet if you humble yourself tonight, you can have hope. There's hope with God. And so I want you to permit me for the next few minutes to answer the question, why is God's faithfulness great? Why did he have hope? Because he said, "Great is God's faithfulness." And so I give them to you tonight. Why is God's faithfulness great? Number one, because God is faithful to the unfaithful. Why is God's faithfulness great? Because God is faithful to the unfaithful. It's easy to be faithful to those who are faithful to you, those who are loyal to you. I was talking yesterday to a politician in my office, and he was talking about those who've been loyal to him. And he's talked about how that as he's making a change from state to federal government, hopefully that, you know, he'll remember those who've been loyal to him. You know, that's sort of a human thing. We expect people to be loyal to us if we are loyal to them. But you want to know why God's faithfulness is great? Because God is faithful to you even when you're unfaithful to Him. Now, before I talk about that as a Christian, let me just remind you of something that's true that every individual on the face of the earth better realize, and it's this, is that God loved a lost and dying world before they ever loved Him. Why is God's love amazing? I'll tell you why God's love is amazing. Because when you didn't love Him, He loved you. You know, it's easy to love people that love you, but it's hard to love something that doesn't love you or love someone that doesn't love you. had a neighbor that lived up the road. The Lockharts would be well familiar with them, Jack and Sarah Horn. They'd never had any children, but they did have two dogs. One was named Pepper, one was named Spot. Pepper was the epitome of a good dog. Spot was a demon-possessed devil. Jack Terrier Russell that was just demon-possessed. There were times I'd go in the house and she'd have to put him in another room, and I would say, "Thank the Lord, I want to live." But I'm going to tell you, they love those dogs. I didn't. I like Pepper, but I didn't love Spot, that's for sure. And there was one day I went over to their house. I was standing at the chain link fence. She opened the door. Spot ran out the door, and he began biting my heels as hard as he could, just biting and gnawing. And I'm going to tell you, had it been anybody else's dog, I would have done this in one swift action. Now, I love dogs, but I don't love dogs that don't love me. But I stood there and I took it. I knew if I hurt that dog, it's like hurting their children. And I took it and I took it and I took it. But I'm going to tell you, I got back in the car and my sock was bloodied from where that dog had just gnawed on me. And I'll just be honest, it's hard to love something that doesn't love you. You want to know why God's love is amazing? Because some of us in here have spent a considerable portion of our lives going against God and using God's name in vain. And when most people would have thrown us in a trash bin and said, "If that's the way you're going to talk about me, then I'm done with you." The love of God endured so much that He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me when we did not care for Him. And if you're here tonight, you say, "There's no way that God can love me." All you've got to do is look at the cross. Because when you look at the cross, Jesus died for you. And tonight, God wants you to leave. There's not a lot of things I can tell you for sure, but I believe this. I believe it's God's desire for every individual in this room to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and have a peace in their heart that passes all understanding and to have forgiveness that the world could never give. I know that's God's will for you. And if you're here tonight and you've never accepted the love of God, I'm going to tell you tonight is the night to do so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And do you know it's that same God that loved you in that fashion that is faithful to you even when you're unfaithful, child of God? Turn with me to 1 John 1, verse 9. I don't care if you have it memorized or not. You ought to read it this way. I want you to see it. I want you to see the importance of these words. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Why is God's faithfulness great? Because He's faithful to us when we're unfaithful to Him. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're in this room tonight and you're a Christian, I want to remind you that all of us have failed Him. I don't care who you are. Be you a deacon or an evangelist. Be you preaching right now or sitting in a chair. All of us have failed Him, but listen to me, God has never failed us. And tonight I choose to say, "Great is Thy faithfulness." But not only is God's faithfulness great because He's faithful to the unfaithful. Number two, God's faithfulness is great because it endures to every generation. Turn with me to Psalm 89. Today, I was talking with a gentleman in Fort Mill. The Hankies know this gentleman well because he ministered there for, I think, 7.5 years. The gentleman's name is Pete. And I asked Pete how he was doing. I could tell he's a little bit slower, a little bit longer in the tooth. I said, "Pete, how are you doing?" And he looked at me and he says, "I've been diagnosed with a disease." I said, and he sort of caught me off guard. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, they diagnosed me with AGE. And I'll admit for a split second, AGE. Age. Well, you know, age has a way of wearing down on us. Last night I was playing, Friday night I was playing ball with the men and at the school. I've learned, man, one game, that's all I'm good for. It's a miracle if I can get through that. I think in 2024, I've got to get with it here. I've got to get back to some semblance of shape. But it's amazing. Age wears on you. For listen, some of you college students right now, enjoy it and ride it as long as you can. Eat at midnight. Play for hours, because there's coming a day that you won't be able to eat after supper. And there's coming a day that 8 o'clock in the evening sounds good. But I'm going to tell you, that age gets a hold of you. And you know, after time, just age, you know, things just begin to deteriorate. But let me tell you, you want to know why God's faithfulness is great? Because He is from the beginning to the end. He has always been. And His faithfulness has not deteriorated one bit. Psalm 89 in verse number 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Age may cause us humans to deteriorate, but God's enduring faithfulness, listen to me, the same faithfulness of God that was given to an Adoniram Judson is available to you tonight. The same faithfulness to the saints of old, to Peter and to Paul and the disciples, the same faithfulness of God that is true to them is just as true in your life tonight. You want to know why God's faithfulness is great? Is because it does not wane with time. It is sustained. It is constant. You can always take it to the bank. And because of that, tonight I choose to say, great is thy faithfulness. But number three tonight, I want you to see this. Why is God's faithfulness great? Number three, because God keeps His promises. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. He always keeps His promises. I make promises. Do you make promises? Sometimes when I make a promise, I'm unable to keep it. And sometimes those reasons are beyond my control. I heard a story one time of a spoiled brat. His father had promised to do something. His father said, I'm going to take you to the... Let's say it was something like take you to the store this afternoon. And there was something that happened, like a neighbor had to be taken to the hospital or whatever. And so the dad took that neighbor to the hospital. He got home that night. And that bratty kid looked at his dad and said, you lied to me. You said you'd take me to the hospital. Or you'd take me to the store. That was pretty awful. That kid had no sense whatsoever. You know, there's sometimes we're providentially hindered from keeping promises, even though we have the best intentions. Now, I will say this, if you're a parent tonight, listen, you make a promise to your children, you keep it. Because I've seen some people get older and have a severe mistrust of God because all of their childhood they felt like they couldn't trust their parents, and as a result, they were skeptical, a little bit skeptical of God. Now, I'm not saying that's legitimate. I know that God's not like a human being, but as a parent, I better understand that if I don't have some consistency in my character as a Christian parent, listen, that's going to have ramifications on their view of God. You know, there's sometimes where I may make promises to two individuals and then they both want me to pay up at the same time. Could you take me to the store sometime? Yeah, I could do that. Could you take me to the store sometime? Yeah, I'll do that. And then both of them come up and they need to go to two different stores in polar opposite places at the same time. And I'm like, well, I can't. I can take you, one of you now and one of you later. And sometimes you can't keep your word because of providential hindrances. Sometimes you can't keep your word because you're only one person. But can I tell you, God does not have those limitations. Deuteronomy chapter 7, notice with me verse 9. Deuteronomy 7 and verse number 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." God is not limited by time. You know, when I was in junior church years ago, you know where I learned some of these fancy theological terms? I didn't learn them in college. I learned them in junior church. A truck driver named Harold England stood before us in junior church and he taught us that God is omniscient. You know, I was sitting there as a 12-year-old kid like, what in the world is omniscient? But I'll tell you, by the end of that class, he had taught me this, that God knows everything. That's what omniscient is. He taught me that God's not limited by knowledge. God's never looked down at your circumstance. I didn't know that. He taught me that God was omnipresent. You're like, oh, that means just God is everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, God's everywhere. I mean, God's everywhere at the same time. God's not limited by space and time. And then he taught me not only is God omniscient, he knows everything, not only is God omnipresent, he's everywhere. But he said, God is omnipotent. And that 50-cent word means that God is all-powerful. He never gets tired, never gets sleepy. He never wanes. He is always consistently on the go. He has power over everything. And listen, if there is anybody in this universe that I want to be able to keep a promise and know can keep a promise, it's God, because He knows everything. He is everywhere and there's nothing more powerful than Him. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad I can say great is God's faithfulness. God keeps His promises. There may be some of you tonight and you're in a position of life where you have many cares that are upon you. And tonight God invites you, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He may not solve them instantaneously. If you're like me, I want God to solve it yesterday. But it's not always God fix this immediately. Sometimes God's like, listen, you just hang in there. I am with you. It's going to be fine. I am with you. Just like a child is comforted by the promise of a parent being with them, listen to me, the child of God ought to be comforted by God's promise, I am with you. God's faithfulness is great because He's faithful to the unfaithful. It endures to every generation. He keeps His promises. Can I tell you, God's faithfulness is great because He's faithful in the most difficult of times. Now, if you're married here, you probably got married and said something like this: in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor. If I can give you the cliff notes, it's like in the good times and the bad times. And I hope that you meant that. And by the way, as married couples, it does us well once in a while to, you know, review those things in our hearts and make sure that we try to do our best in that. But God is faithful to us even in the times where some people don't want to touch us with a 10-foot pole. You know, through the years, I've had people come up and tell me something that I think they thought was funny, but it didn't encourage me a bit. I would be in the middle of a hard situation, and they would look at me, and here's what they'd say. They'd say, I'm glad I'm not you. You know, you just hear that, you know, and they're like, ha, 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 and I'm like, You know, but God Almighty, when it comes to the things in your life that are of the most difficult nature, listen to me, He is there, and He's not going to bail on you. We heard this verse preached at the chapel recently at the college, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10, In verse number 13, there is no temptation that has taken you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And whether it is a solicitation to do evil, which all of us experience temptation, or it's a difficulty that has come in your life and it's like a trial, listen to me, God is faithful. That's why it's great. God doesn't use you like the world. The world's like, well, the going gets rough with you, I'm heading in the other direction. When the pressure comes on the Christian, that's not where God bails out. That's where God gives grace. You want to know why God's faithfulness is great? Because He is more faithful to me than any human being, and that He is able to help me even through the most difficult of circumstances. That's why every one of us needs God. We need Him more than we could ever imagine. But the last thing that I tell you tonight, why is God's faithfulness great? It's faithful because, last of all, it inspires me to be faithful. You know, when I think about a faithful God, it makes me think, you know what, I ought to be faithful. I ought to be faithful to Him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. God's faithfulness, when I think about God's faithfulness, it inspires me to be faithful to Him. You know, we ought to be careful what we think about. It's really easy, if we're not careful, to be thinking about all the negative. You know, all this happened. You know, this week it couldn't have got worse, and then it did. And you start thinking, and that's all you think about and dwell about, you can get your mind bent a certain way, and it doesn't help you. I've been there before. I had a week this summer, I started off, I was out in a meeting with a pastor, and I told him, I said, boy, this can't get any worse, and it got worse than I could have ever imagined. And I said, Bill, you need to quit saying stupid stuff like that. It can't get worse. You just need to stop that. But you know, if that's all you think about, it bends your mind a certain way and you start thinking a certain way. Can I tell you, instead of dwelling on every negative thing that happens in your life, you and I'd be a lot better served by thinking on this: God is faithful. And notice with me Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. You ever wavered before? I have. I love to go out to the Outer Banks and I watch those waves just go up and down. But you know, sometimes I just can get unstable and I'm just sort of... But when you think about God's faithfulness, His faithfulness to us is unwavering, and it inspires me to try to be unwavering towards Him. And then notice with me Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she was faithful and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I sort of chuckle. The writer said was delivered of a child when she was past age. I'm going to tell you, you got that right. You want to know what past age is in the Greek? I don't know, but in the Hebrew, it's like 90 years old. You know what I mean? You read the Old Testament story, this woman had a kid at the age of 90. So you say, I don't believe that. Well, then you probably don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. You probably don't believe that the Red Sea parted. And you're probably one of those that didn't believe that Jesus raised from the dead. And my friend, if that's you tonight, you have no hope. But Sarah did something. But you know what the Bible says? That when that took place, she judged him faithful. God made a promise. And you know, we use the term, somebody delivers on a promise. Well, Sarah delivered on a promise, did she not? She delivered on the promise that God had given her, a child at an old age. Listen to me, when I read the Bible and when I see the stories of the saints of old, I have to be persuaded in my heart, great is thy faithfulness. And that same faithfulness that hatched hope in the heart of Jeremiah at the funeral of a city is the same faithfulness that can hatch hope in your heart tonight if you'll get your eyes in the right place. I hope the next time somebody comes to you and says, well, why is God's faithfulness great? Don't look at them like a calf looking at a new gate. That's a good southern term for some of you. Don't you look at them like you don't have any sense. You can just answer without any hesitation. I'll tell you why His faithfulness is great. It's great because He's faithful when I'm not. It's great because God always keeps His promises. It's great because God's been faithful in every generation. It's great because He helps me in the most difficult of times. And it's great because it inspires me to be faithful to Him. You know, it's sad to me to see hymnals removed from some of the racks of pews and churches. Because it's in those hymnals that you find a lot of good theology. Yes, you find it in the Bible, but can I tell you, it's not just good to read theology, it's good to sing it. And there's one song that congregations throughout the years have swelled in their singing that's inspired and helped many a heart when they open their hymnals and they sing, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in Thee, not a hint. Thou changest not, Thy compassions fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness." My friend, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to dwell upon God's love that I've told you about tonight. Accept Him as Savior and then live in light of His faithfulness. God will change your life. And if you're here tonight as a child of God, instead of spending your time meditating on the things of this life that are dragging you down, leave here remembering, great is Thy faithfulness, and have a little hope. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I'd like to ask you three questions. And I ask these questions, I would ask them anywhere that I would preach. Because I believe when you hear the Word of God, that God wants to deal in your heart. How many of you here tonight, you would say, "Alton, as you talked about the love of God this evening, you know, there was a time in my life where I understood the love of God. I realized that I was born apart from God. I was drowning in sin." And you would say, "Alton, there was a time when I realized that God loved me even when I was unlovable." And you'd say, "Alton, there was a time in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know that I've tasted of the love of God because I've placed my faith in Christ. And as I sit here in this service, there's no doubt I know that I am a child of God because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." If you know that in your heart tonight, would you just slip your hand up and keep it up just a moment? All right, thank you. You may put them down. This morning, the service that we were in Fort Mill, I asked the second question. Are there any of you here tonight who would say, "Alton, I'm here, and one of two things is true. I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved." I may be speaking to somebody here. You'd say, I've heard messages about the gospel and been maybe even raised in church. But you'd say, "As I sit here tonight, I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. I've never embraced the love of God like you spoke of tonight." And you'd say, "Alton, I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. And tonight I wish you'd remember me in prayer." If that uncertainty is in your heart tonight, I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you and help you. You'd say, "Alton, I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me?" If that's you, would you just slip your hand up long enough for me to see it? You can slip it right back down. But tonight you're in a place where God wants to help you. All right. My last question is a little more general, and it's specifically to Christians, and it's this. I wonder if there are Christians here tonight And you'd say, I needed to be reminded of the faithfulness of God because the Lord has dealt with me in a specific area tonight. I know I could ask how many of us are thankful for the faithfulness of God, and every one of us ought to raise our hands. I'm not talking about that kind of generality. But I may be speaking to some here. Listen, you know you've not been where you need to be with the Lord, and tonight you've been reminded God's faithful to you even when you're unfaithful to Him. For others here, you have focused on so much negative that it has pulled you down, and tonight you've needed to focus instead on the faithfulness of God. I'm talking about in a specific area that was mentioned tonight. You'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved, and tonight God has shown me, God has dealt with me specifically in remembering His faithfulness to help me in a certain area. And you'd say, preacher, would you remember me tonight as we begin this week? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Are there people like that? There's several here. God bless you. Thank you. You can put them down. In a moment, we're going to stand together and I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, I'm going to ask our pianist to begin playing. And all I would ask you to do as we begin the invitation tonight, would you just be honest before the Lord? I'm not your judge. There have been times where I've had to find myself meditating on the faithfulness of God, and I've had to bow my knee and bow my heart. I hope you'll do so tonight. Let's stand together, if you would. Join me in standing if you're able. Father, tonight, Lord, I ask You that You would help my brothers and sisters that are here. Lord, I pray for some here, maybe this evening. They know that they've not been where they ought to be with You, and tonight they've been reminded, Lord, that You're faithful to them. Father, tonight, if they confess their sins, You're faithful and just to forgive them. Lord, there are others here tonight that maybe have gone through waters that have caused them to doubt. Lord, waters that have cause them to really think about what they believe about You. Father, may we be reminded that You're faithful to every generation. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that Your faithfulness is great. And we pray that You would help us in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our pianist begins to play the song tonight. And in a moment, we're going to sing the first verse of that song. But would you just bow your heart right now? Would you let God have His way? Great is Thy faithfulness. Would you let that faithfulness steer you in the right direction? Would you let that faithfulness cause you to bow your knee to Him and to live for Him? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. As you enter a new year, a year that could be filled with uncertainty and ups and downs, listen, God is faithfulness. His faithfulness is great. Take your hymnals and join me in turning to page 818. Page 818, our brother's going to lead us in the first verse of this song. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let God comfort your heart. Leave here tonight with hope like Jeremiah had many years ago. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Let's sing together, Great is Thy faithfulness.